When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome to Cry Like a Boy, a Euronews original service and podcast that explores how the pressure to be a man can hurt families and societies. Stay with us as we travel across the African continent to meet men who defy centuries-old stereotypes. I'm Khoposo Budibe with you from Johannesburg in South Africa. In this episode, we will explore a community in Burundi where a group of men carry out a revolution against gender-based violence through theatre, changing mentalities and fighting against domestic violence. They are called the Abatangamucho, the ones who shine light in Burundi. In the past two episodes of our show, we witnessed how couples like Innocent and Capitoline benefited from their community efforts. And for this episode today, we are joined by Grace Francoise Nibizi, live from Burundi. Ms. Nibizi is a nurse by profession, but also has a bachelor's degree in social and economic administration and many years of working experience in international humanitarian and development organizations, including UNIFEM, UNDP, UNHCR, CRS, and the European Union. And Hilde Osland van der Skook, gender expert at Oslo University, also joins us. She's a gender expert at Oslo University. She did research on the Abatangamucho for CARE in 2011. Her latest work is on cultural barriers to knowledge transfer in development aid and the impact thereof on the realization of the SDGs pertaining to gender and health. For each country we are exploring in this series of documentaries, we will be in discussion with two guests, one from Europe and another African, to help us put into perspective the reports you will have heard previously. If you have not yet listened to both the documentaries on the Abatangamucho, do yourself a favor and visit our website, euronews.com/programs/cry-like-a-boy, to have a listen. In the meantime, let's get our conversation with our guests started. Ms. van der Skook and Ms. Nibizi, welcome to Cry Like a Boy. We are recording this podcast under special conditions amid the current COVID-19 pandemic, which requires social distancing. Francoise is in Bujumbura and Hilde is in Oslo. Now, in the Abatangamucho episode, we met these men who, at the community level, are trying to change things by using theater to denounce what is wrong. Hilde, you made a report on this in 2011. Could you tell us more about your experience?
Yes, I was commissioned actually by CARE International in Norway, who supports the Abatangamucho, to do a research-based evaluation of their work. And at the time, I was working at the Peace Research Institute in Oslo. And to be frank, I didn't really know anything about the Abatangamucho or about Burundi before taking on that assignment. And it was, to me, like a really kind of perspective shifter of an experience to come to Burundi and meet these men in a context where I rather expected very traditional gender roles to materialize, and to hear them talk about how they had basically realized the destructiveness of some of the kind of aspects of masculinity they'd grown up with on their own families, on their own development perspectives, on their wider communities and themselves as human beings. It was fascinating, and it's to date one of the most interesting pieces of academic work I've done.
Do you think the Abatanga Mucho could be part of the solutions that European countries could adopt?
In many ways, yes, I think they can. Because one of the things that really struck me with the Abatanga Mucho was how they were able to kind of approach their sort of ingrained ideas about what it means to be a real man. They were able to question that and to approach that with, you know, a bit of a kind of critical lens, even from the inside, and to look at, okay, but if what I learn is that to be a real man, I need to beat up my wife, how does that actually impact myself and my wife and my community? Is this actually good for us? And that ability that they have to have that self-reflection and to question those norms that they grew up with, I think is such a massive learning point and certainly an approach to not just toxic masculinity, but destructive gender roles in a wider sense in Europe as well.
Indeed. Françoise, let me bring you into the conversation here. You are familiar with the Abatanga Mucho. What is your view of the group and their efforts? Do you think that they are making an impact?
Yeah, thank you very much. As you said, I know Abatanga Mucho because the organization Sakode I created, I founded in 2011, have been in partnership with CARE International since 2014. And that is the reason why I really know very well the Abatanga Mucho movement. Actually, what they are doing is very nice because their main tasks for these men is they have set themselves in is to challenge traditional gender role acceptations in their communities through personal changes and testimonies. And what they are doing is very well because all the gender harms or gender-based violence we are experiencing in Burundi are rooted in our culture. But unfortunately, they're only in those zones where CARE International is working, which means they're only in 8 provinces, and Burundi has got 18 provinces. I can tell you that they haven't really been known by all the communities in those provinces, which I wish they could be really known. They could expand their activities in all provinces, actually. But what they are doing, their main task, their main role, what they are doing is really very nice.
Françoise, you say that they are active in 8 provinces out of almost 20 that the country, that Burundi has. And you say that out of the 8 provinces where they are active, not all communities are actually aware of the group. But where they operate, what successes do you see? What kind of impact are you seeing that is noticeable? What are people in those communities saying about the group?
One of their successes is that where they are working, rural Burundian men who had begun to question their traditional ways of life. They're starting to question their masculinity because in Burundi, all the gender-based violence, as I said, are rooted in our culture, which means the gender-based violence are taken as a normal thing. And those are very, men who are insulting their wives, degrading them. The insult is a daily thing in a Burundian community. And majority of men didn't see that as something which is not really bad. But where Abatanga Mucho have been able to work and sensitize and educate men, now they are changing their way of communicating with their wife, which is a very nice thing.
Indeed, that sounds very good. It actually means that this is a project that could be replicated across the country. We need a whole lot of these interventions in Burundi, not only in the 8 provinces, where they are currently working. Now, I have a question for both of you. In the first episode of our series, we learned about toxic masculinity, which refers to the ideas, the norms, the attitudes that we raise boys around, to think that boys and men are dominant, that violence is the way to resolve problems, that men and boys are superior to women, and so on and so on. What is the role of toxic masculinity in gender violence or in marital violence in your respective countries? Let me start with you, Hilde.
So in Norway, we see that domestic violence in Norway is to a very large extent intimate partner violence, where women are exposed to violence, sometimes even killed by partners, husbands. And what we do see is that a lot of the time these instances come about when the woman is maybe threatening to leave, or there's been some sort of event whereby the man's kind of idea of himself as the man is in a sense threatened. And to me I think that is the tragedy of these aspects of masculinity that we refer to as toxic. The fact that in order for some men, the logical response, or like the emotional response to feeling belittled or out of control, will be to use violence or aggression to kind of reinsert masculinity. If I can make a comparison to a case that I know better, because ironically I'm in Norway, but I don't do research on the Norwegian context, but I did do research in Colombia about a decade back on the situation regarding landmines and people being forced to flee their homes in the countryside because of landmines. And in the families that had fled from rural contexts and into the city, it was much easier for women than for men to get jobs, because, you know, they could get domestic service. Some of them would get jobs in like garment industry. It was much harder for the men. So there was a shift where the women in a lot of these families became breadwinners. And what was seen there was that in parallel with that, you'd see an upsurge in domestic violence, which was associated with these men kind of feeling like their role as breadwinners was taken away from them, and that was something that triggered reactions of violence in some. And that, again, to me, is just a tragic consequence of a toxic masculinity whereby men feel like they're not allowed to ever, like, not be in charge.
They feel emasculated there. That's what I hear you to be speaking about.
Yes, indeed.
If I can throw this question at you, Françoise, if you can talk to us about the role of toxic masculinity in gender-based violence or marital violence in Burundi. What are your observations around that?
The role of toxic masculinity in gender-based violence is that it creates really a very bad expectations of female being as passive, as submissive, as weak, as powerless, as dependent on men, and which I think is not true. And actually, that's why I said what Abatanga Mucho are doing is really good, because their main goal in their activities, even in their show, is to help men, as many men as possible, to realize that activities such as domestic violence, because all those I have said, and also majority in Burundi, as I said, in majority of income generating activities and household work are done by women. And women are excluded from all decision making. They are not allowed to all possibilities for achieving financial and social progress. So all those, I consider them as the impact of toxic masculinity. And that's why the Abatanga Mucho are really challenging all those values and behaviors of gender roles through their testimonies. I wish the Abatanga Mucho could really cover the whole country, not only Burundi, Africa, even Europe, because I believe it's the same thing all over the world.
Grace Francoise and Hilde, both of you, your responses to the question around toxic masculinity actually bring me to this question here, which is, achieving gender equality or gender justice is a challenge for most countries, which you have already alluded to in your responses. What are the main obstacles, in your view, regarding the attainment of gender equality? I will start with you, Hilde, in the context of Europe, in the context of Norway, where you're based. What are you seeing as the obstacles there that are preventing the attainment of gender justice?
I think that cemented gender roles anywhere you go really is the biggest challenge to gender justice, because our gender roles, they create these kind of fixed expectations about how it is acceptable to be as a man and as a woman. And that creates these blind spots where it becomes so difficult to ask questions and to see the injustice of things that are going on. And, you know, even if gender equality has come a very long way in Norway, like compared to the rest of the world, Norway is doing very well indeed. There is still just like this massive difference in what's expected from a woman compared to a man. Like, how is a woman expected to behave? What kind of job is she expected to have? And even if she's allowed to have all the other jobs, even if she's allowed to behave in every other way, she's still expected to do this, that, and the other. And it's the same for men. So, I mean, at that just like overarching level, the fact that we insist on splitting the world into those two camps and assigning these very specific expectations as to how to behave and what you're expected to be good at and what you're expected to be bad at, I think that's what's holding us back across the world.
Your views on this, Francoise?
In Burundi, the main obstacle is related to the fact that majority of Burundian women are uneducated. More than 70% of Burundian women are really not educated. And that means they don't even know their rights, because they only believe in the culture, and that culture has got a lot of harmful norms. And one of them is that toxic masculinity. Otherwise, the number two obstacle, because education, sensitization, advocacy, all those need to be covered by financial means, which are limited. In my point of view, those are the two main obstacles. Women are not educated, which means they don't know their rights. They believe in the culture. It's very unfortunate that, like, I can give you an example related to inheritance. We are in 2020, and we in Burundi, women and girls cannot inherit. And when we went to do a study, we realized that majority of people who were against that law were women. And for me, those women were against because they were not really, they could not think deeply and widely to see the consequences of not being inherited. They just believe in the cultural norms, and those cultural norms some of the norms are very harmful.
Well, thank you both. Thank you for sharing your time with us. Stay tuned to hear more from our guests in the second half of this interview, to be aired 2 weeks from now. Thank you so much for joining us for this edition. This show has been produced with me, Khoboso Budibe. I'm a journalist, I'm a gender activist, I'm a communications specialist, focusing on development issues, particularly gender issues and human rights. I have been joined in producing this show by Clarice Shaka in Burundi, Marta Rodriguez Martinez, Lilo Montalto Monella, and Naira Davlashian in Lyon. Special thanks go to Laurie Martinez and Studio Ochenta for helping us produce this podcast under special conditions. I would like to also thank our guests, Grace Francoise Nibizi and Hilde Usland van der Skoek. For more information on Cry Like a Boy, a Euronews original service and podcast, go to euronews.com/crylikeaboy to find opinion pieces, videos and articles on the topic. Follow us on Twitter at Euronews is our handle, and on Instagram we are at euronews.tv. Share with us your own stories of how you changed and challenged your view on what it means to be a man. Use hashtag cry like a boy. If you're a French speaker, this podcast is also available in French. Dan La Tête des Hommes is the name.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.